Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinee Igwumike. And Chinee is sprinting over to us, coming off her WNBA responsibilities with the Sparks. She's getting mic'd up on the fly here right now. The camera's a tilt-a-whirl here on ESPN+. I can't even hear Chinee at this point right now. So we're like, Chinee, are you doing all right? Like, I can only imagine this must mean that it is as hot in California as it is in Connecticut today.
Hey, testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me, Junior?
Yeah, no. I was going to say, we're workshopping this on the fly. You guys are seeing how the sausage is made right now. And yesterday, I can't hear
What's
you.
What's up? We out here. And I was not sprinting. I was sitting. I was sprinting before that. And this is like working at home. So if you guys have like a crooked neck, the show might finally be straight for you. Because my thing is sitting sideways. And I was trying to get it right for everyone. And I will work on it. So if you watch this on ESPN Plus, over time, my shot will get better. Now, yes, it's in the early, middle-ish part of the WNBA season. Your girl is out here killing the rehab game. And I would never miss a day if I can have a day with you, Junior. So this is a work in progress, and I'm finally glad to hear your voice because I kind of, sort of, a little bit miss you, man.
Ah, there we go. I miss you, too. And see, that's a great way to soften the blow of me having to look at your camera on tilt right now through the show and feeling like my head's a little tilty sideways right here. But listen, I'm always basically sitting in here like tilted or leaned back. So it all works out pretty well, Chinee. And again, I can't hold anything against anybody today because I've walked into work basically trying to beat this post-shower sweat nonstop since I got in here. So I can only hope it is not as bad where you are because the Northeast right now, we're all walking around outside treating this thing like an oven.
So, like, I'm confused. Don't most people get a post-shower sweat? Like, you know, after you shower, if you start moving too quickly, it feels like the shower is like, it sort of mixes in where it's like, why am I still wet? You know what I mean? So I feel like it's a normal thing. And as athletes, after games, you want to leave as soon as possible. And then you throw on clothes before your body's fully moisturized.
Well, see,
there are ways to go with that.
Well, and that's the thing that people, and this is like a learning process for everyone, Chinee, because I'd say the biggest difference between like a big guy's post-shower sweats and everybody else's is mine just lasts a little longer. And like, if I make a sudden move too quick that a normal person might be able to absorb, all of a sudden I start leaking again and I nuke whatever t-shirt I'm in or sweat out all the lotion I just put on. But did you, I'm always interested.
You put on lotion, great.
Oh yeah, listen, I have learned some things about taking care of my bodies here. You harvest things as you go along.
I just didn't know.
The one, like I say, that was one of the things I took out of locker room. The other one that I always said felt very cultural divided in the locker room was the washcloth. Like,
oh,
it was just one. It was one of those things. For whatever reason, me and a lot of my white teammates had not been introduced to the washcloth until all of a sudden I got to a locker room that had people of diverse backgrounds in there, and all of a sudden I found it saving light. I was just out here hand washing.
Wait. So I've never really dug deep. Hey, it's Chinee Igwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I promise you, we're going to get to all the NBA and stuff. But I've never really spoke to someone that has not used a washcloth for a portion of their life. So I want to dig in here. Like, all right. So like, you just use your hands for everything.
Yeah. No, I can say you just throw some soap in there, rub it up, get yourself all sudsy. Like, you know.
But like, the washcloth is for exfoliation. I'm a loofah girl. Like, I've always had a loofah. I probably, you know, like as a kid, I was running around carrying a loofah. Like, that's a fun thing you could throw. So I'm a loofah girl. I buy loofahs for the road. I have loofahs for my guests in my house. Like, loofahs is just where it's at. And so, was this just in a locker room? Like, you just in general just never used a washcloth?
That was just in general, Chinee, because you got to also remember, like, I'm a dumb boy. Exfoliation wasn't a word that meant something to me until very recently. And so I didn't even understand the concept of a loofah until all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it's supposed to open things up, clear things out. That abrasiveness actually kind of helps. So, yeah, it's been a learning process over here. There's no doubt.
What do you use now?
I'm still team washcloth right now. I am looking for the right loofah to come into my life here because I used one when I was at a hotel that provided one not too long ago. And I got, wow, that would just wow.
They have loofahs with like sticks attached, right? So like you can like use it as like a long like thingy. You know how they have those back scratchers? But hey, I mean, I'm glad you're using something. All right. And it was absolutely cultural when you got to college. Like that is something that a lot of people reached enlightenment. But no judgment here. If hands or loofahs, just wash your body. Okay.
Just wash your body. But if you're like me, you know, finding your way to the washcloth, not the worst thing in the world here. Now, Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now that we're all clean, we're feeling good about things in here. Chinee, I feel like on this show we banned certain words, right? We talked about a while ago, we were using goat too much in these conversations.
Yep.
So we were
normalized.
Normalize is another one. I want to take another phrase, Chinee, that I think we need to ban right now.
What?
Giving people their flowers.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we've gone, because now we're going through this with Paul George here, because we went from the slander that was probably way too far with Paul George here to now this conversation, because I heard Boogie Cousins, Paul George goes off, he becomes the first player in NBA history to go for 40-plus points on 75% from the field, 50% from three, 100% from the free throw line. Dude is balling here. Paul George has exercised the demons and a lot of this stuff in the postseason, but Boogie Cousins said this after the game about his teammates, and this is what sent me down this path.
Said it in the year, man. I don't know where this trolling bullshit come from, where it's the internet controls the narrative about these players. It's becoming foolish, man. Like I said earlier in the year, that's one of the most special players to ever lace his shoes up. Get his dude his flowers, man. I don't understand the slander. It's becoming quite silly now. Like, respect these players, man. Respect these greats.
So, Janae, are you with me here? Can we ditch that phrase?
Yeah, we need to. It applies well in certain circumstances. Like, say Serena is playing, which it was a really bummer to see her bow out of Wimbledon. That was tough. But, like, when we talk about Tom Brady, when we talk about Serena, like, we can use that word GOAT. We have that special clause, right? Even Simone Biles, okay? But, you know, the normalizing, that's another one. And then the flowers. Like, I love it. Like, say, my teammate Simone Augustus, legend in the women's basketball world, just legend overall as a hooper, four-time champion, came out of LSU. And when she retired, she became instantly our coach. And we wanted to give her flowers because she deserved it. We were in a post-pandemic season where fans are not normally at games. And we're like, we need to go above and beyond to make sure we celebrate her career because she deserves that moment in the sun, right? So give her flowers. Not for active players in their prime that are just defeating a narrative that they created for themselves. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you brought that up, Janae, because I had to go back. I went back and looked it up, and this is why this postseason has felt particularly interesting for Paul George, is because that playoff P thing, the problem he made for himself, was 2018 against the Utah Jazz team that he ended up sending home on his own after Kawhi went down in that last series. So the thing that's become interesting to me now about this, Janae, is I don't think questioning Paul George, the basketball player, anymore is going to be as much of an issue, right? Because he got to do it by himself for a large portion of this postseason. Does it change the way that you're going to look at this Clippers team now going forward, even if they lose this series against the Suns?
I don't think so. You know, it's so crazy. Shout out to all the Clippers fans out there. You heard that correct. Shout out to all the Clippers fans out there, because this is a Lakers town, realistically, all right? It's a Lakers town. And the expectations is to compete. Not necessarily like the Lakers with so many banners up and saying, like, we've won titles. Like, it's either NBA championship or bust. Larry O'Brien or bust. Like, for the Clippers, they need to prove themselves and make it to the finals and win a championship. And I think because they're in the same proximity of being in the Lakers, the expectation is just a little different. And so this team has dealt with blows. No Kawhi Leonard. And now, you know, no Serge Ibaka. And they've still found ways to compete, and they deserve their respect. I just think the standards are, it's much different for them.
Well, Janae, let me ask it a different way then. Going into next year, would the biggest question for you around this Clippers team, if they don't, and they've still got a shot, the series is 3-2, it's heading back to Los Angeles, like, they're not out of this by any means, but if we're looking at next year, the questions you have about the Sixers, would the bigger question be Kawhi's health or Paul George?
Kawhi's health, for sure. Because when we've seen Kawhi Leonard healthy, he produced a championship, not only when he was like a young buck on the San Antonio Spurs, but then also produced a championship, putting the team on his back when he was not fully healthy with Toronto. And so if he is healthy, that team has championship expectations, period, based on what he's proven to be able to do on both ends. So if he's out there, then I'm like, all right, like, the pressure is on. But without him, it's hard to say, like, you have this expectation to win right now. I love what Paul George has done. He's produced some wins. This has been a very, very different postseason. Even though we've been devoid of stars, we've seen stars step up in ways that they can reclaim their narratives. Trae Young, Devin Booker, and now Paul George, which means I'm very, very happy for him. So, you know, I'm excited to see, like, this has been a better series than I even expected, and I'm glad to see playoff P, okay? Playoff P.
And you know what? I'm glad to see Paul George, because we've talked so much about injury in this postseason, Shanae. I'm going to use a word that we haven't heard very often this postseason. What's happened with Paul George during this run has been very healthy. Like, it has been mentally healthy for Paul George, I'd imagine. He has been physically healthy in a way that we've really got to appreciate here. So all of those things come together and make this a less of a problem for Paul George. But coming up next, let's stick with one of the names you just mentioned there. Trae Young, dealing with that bone bruise in his foot. Is it time for us to retire any championship expectations that we had for the Hawks? We'll get to that next, leading to game four. Maybe, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
NBA's Eastern Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 4 as the Hawks host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike back with us here. And Janae, thank God, because we need some help in here. We got the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 coming up tonight for Trae Young and the Hawks. And I know you kind of scoffed at it when we were talking in this last segment about any championship or aspirations that we would have had for the Atlanta Hawks. And I don't blame you, Janae, because I didn't think. I said this was all gravy for them. But what's happened is, as you've had to miss some shows here, we've had Trevor Scales in here. Elle Duncan's found her way in here. So the Hawks propaganda on this show has started to have an effect on my brain.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a chance, and I do think that the Hawks still have a chance. It was the tough news that Trae Young, you know, that bone bruise in his foot that he played through for a while, like, that's horrible because he's the heart and soul. He's very much Steph Curry-esque, where he shoots threes not just to make them, but also to suck the life out of his opponents. And so it does change the scope of what this team maybe can do in the long run, but I mean, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Like, we have too many, like, what is it? First it's Philly, now it's the Hawks. Like, who's next?
Yeah, no, it always seems to be something else coming up here. But this Bucks team, we know, is built a little different. The expectations, especially the way the injuries have shaken out, basically leave what has looked like the best possible path for the Bucks in all of this right now. And what lays ahead of Trae Young certainly doesn't get any easier. Quentin Richardson, former NBA player, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, who was with us yesterday, joined the guys in Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin today and talked about what's ahead of Trae heading into tonight.
Hopefully, you know, if he had a good day of rest and some good rehab, he can get that thing loose and try and move kind of like he is. But, I mean, that's a tough injury. The ankle injuries are tough, especially when you only get limited time to rehab and get better. But hopefully he can be, you know, somewhere close to his normal self and give the Hawks a chance, because he has to be special for them to have a chance, in my opinion.
So, Janae, what's the biggest chance if Trae Young isn't 100%, if it can't either be the full version of him or the full version of his minutes, what changes the most for this team, especially offensively?
I mean, their go-to scorer is gone, which means when you see someone that is the best chance that you have of having a big offensive night, like, defenses bend around you. Without that threat, defenses amp up. So if I'm playing against a team and I see maybe their star players out, I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm gonna go crazy defensively and get up into some people and apply that scouting report a little bit more, instead of worrying about, oh well, I gotta go send help over there. And that's the biggest difference here. I mean, like, Junior, let's be real here. We don't know what the heck is going to happen this playoffs. Like, this playoffs have proven that we have no clue who's going to win. Now, we know who has better odds, who are more likely, but this has been the year of people proving themselves on the fly. So the Hawks, when they play, one thing I will say is that they play hard and they have energy and intensity. So, you know, dealing with his absence would be really difficult, but I've seen this team have a lot of spurts. And so, I you know, you can't count anyone out. But like you said, the Bucks are built different. They have star players. And by the way, when your star is being outstarred, that's the best thing that can happen to you. Meaning, Chris Middleton's been balling. Like, there was a stretch, he had 20 points in that final fourth quarter. There was a stretch where I was like, dang, this man is unguardable. Like, he knew his shot was going in. Did you see that? Don't we love that one where it's like you turn and you're like, ooh. Wasn't it that meme of that guy when, like, he's walking with his girlfriend and there's another woman walking past and he's like, ooh. Like, he hit a shot in the fourth quarter. He was like, ooh. I was like, and this is a man that people, you know, are just now finding out how good he is. That's the best case scenario you can have for a Milwaukee Bucks team. Someone that's a closer, someone that's a former MVP, and a whole bunch of people that know their roles and know how to compete. That's what they're up against. Arguably one of the best teams, if not the best team remaining. And so the task is tall. And we'll see if this young team that has had a lot of positivity, like if they're able to, because they play up to the occasion, and we'll see if they'll continue to be able to do that.
They play up to the occasion, but you're right, Chiney, as chaotic as this postseason has felt, I would say outside of the Los Angeles Clippers, who weathered the loss of Kawhi Leonard incredibly well, managed to take out the number one seed in the West. We know Donovan Mitchell was hobbled, but again, when Kawhi Leonard is full-blown out, you don't get a lot of sympathy in that series injury-wise. Outside of that, it has been whoever the healthiest team is by and large going to be the one that moves on. Maybe we can throw the Sixers in that conversation as well. But, Chiney, this should be the Bucks moving on in here. Now, you missed all the Batman and Robin fun conversations yesterday. Are you buying any of what Perk's selling on that right now? Because I think it works perfectly for this team, Chiney. I don't think we have to, you know, we can say what the stock line for a lot of people going into relationships are. I don't want to worry about labels in this, baby. Like, I just want to, why don't we just be what we are?
Thank you. Okay. Like, I agree. Like, we don't have to put labels like, oh, he's Batman, he's Robin, he's go-to. Like, we do this even now, like, with other people that don't apply, like retired players. I'm not here for it. I just think that if you have someone that over, what is it, the regular season, Giannis is Batman, and then if a Robin turns into a Batman too, like, we always talk about, you know, Miami, are we going to do that to D-Wade? Like, and we sort of started saying 1A and 1B because they're both number one. How they play when it matters most, right? Like, that's what we're seeing in Milwaukee. I do think that the only place that this applies, and I know Perk put it out there, the only place that this applies is based on the scouting report, Junior. Like, Giannis is going to be, like, what Giannis Antetokounmpo, man, I forgot his middle name. Is it Ugo? Giannis Ugo Antetokounmpo. You don't have to do that for my United people. What he's been doing is, all right, I've been super, super exploited when it comes to the postseason. I'm just going to play harder than everybody else. Even if that means I'm missing. You saw that viral video of him saying, like, it can only go up from here. I've airballed free throws, right? Like, so he is impossible to be stopped because he's committed himself to that. Now you have a skilled person that knows how to read off of that in Chris Middleton. And so they're both playing their roles perfectly. I mean, can we have two leads? Can we just do two leads for the postseason for the Milwaukee Bucks?
This is like the end of Mean Girls where we're breaking the crown into pieces and handing them to Chris Middleton and to Giannis here to... And we will not bring up the thing. Give them both their flowers.
Oh,
we're not
gosh.
Doing that anymore. We have cut it off out here. Now, coming up next, you mentioned some former players making news. I want to hear from two Hall of Famers and get Chiney's reaction to some things that were said right now, because some people are making waves and we're just trying to figure out where the hell they are coming from. We'll get to that next after this word from Rumble On. Now, do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's just sitting in your garage that you've been wanting to sell here? Could be a lot of us after this last year. Everything's changed about what we've been doing, how we've been moving. Well, with RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in just minutes. RumbleOn.com is going to give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. They can even finance your next Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even more if you're just looking to upgrade. See what RumbleOn can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash. A couple of Hall of Famers had the time. We'll check in and see how everyone's doing next year on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
As everyone sits around melting right now, coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you the ways you need to beat the sun right now. Could be the sun, could be the suns. I'm not really sure at this point. We let Chiney take care of the lists around here, and so we're going to get to that in about 10 minutes on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwimike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
You see someone that is the best chance that you have of having a big offensive night. Like, defenses bend around you. Without that threat, defenses amp up. So if I'm playing against a team and I see maybe their star players out, I'm like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to go crazy defensively and get up into some people and apply that scouting report a little bit more instead of worrying about, oh, well, I got to go send help over there.
That was great breakdown from Chiney. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know if there's a ghost in here. I'm not sure. Chiney, I was looking up at you for anyone watching on ESPN Plus. Wonder why your mouth wasn't moving. I got very scared.
I actually am really disappointed because just let Chiney keep going off.
Like, I was
going
to say.
You know what I mean?
She was kind of killing it. So, I mean,
right?
Go off, queen. Matt, like, what exactly happened right there?
Well, let's take people behind the curtain here. basically, because she's the best in the business, that was Christine. replaying some sound there that you're going to hear in the next SportsCenter update. But I thought, you know what? Let's get that sound out there now so the folks can get that analysis as soon as possible. That was my thinking.
Little early tease for the fans of Christine Lisi that tune around here like the rest of us do for her SportsCenter updates. And I get a little tease.
Look, that's
Janae's
why she's my dog. She always shows me love. We got each other's back.
To be honest with you, Janae, you can probably just take the rest of the afternoon off at this point. We'll just keep playing cuts. We're good.
Yeah, I'm here. Say less.
You say, don't give us that much room to work right here. Now, you heard from Chinne Agumake here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. But, Chinne, you weren't with us yesterday. Did you hear what Scottie Pippen had to say about his former coach in Phil Jackson? Because we were talking about that a lot yesterday. Scottie Pippen, for anyone that missed it, went on the Dan Patrick Show. And he's been out here on a book tour trying to sell a bourbon that he's involved with. And so we've seen him getting into spats on Twitter with Kevin Durant. And now he was asked about Phil Jackson and essentially called the situation around Tony Kukoc's last shot in a pivotal game. That's been a part of, this has been a thing we've talked about with Scottie Pippen for a long time, but essentially called this a racially motivated decision by Phil Jackson. So, Chinne, are you worried about Scottie Pippen right now? Because this seems like it's come out of nowhere.
Why? Scottie, let me tell you, working with Scottie here at ESPN has been one of my favorite things ever. Like, he's just real. He told me the amazing thing that helped me when I was playing against the Connecticut Sun. And I just had left, and I'm playing for the Sparks, and I was getting booed, not only when I was playing, but, like, every time I touched the ball. Still balled out, though, okay? And he was like, you know what, Chinne? If they boo, that shows that they care. And, like, we all witnessed that with The Last Dance and his mindset and how he's been a great teammate. But it's just hard because there have been a lot of headlines coming out here, and there's also the idea of you're selling products, right? Like, you don't know if these headlines are exaggerations or realities, and you don't want to ever diminish someone's reality. So, and Junior, there's so many dynamics like at play because, you know, when we talk about shooters, let's be real. When it comes to basketball, we tend to assume certain people that look certain ways probably have different skill sets at times, right? So there's so many layers to this that make it complicated. I would never, ever throw the terms around that imply certain things like racism and using that to conspire against people lightly, right? Like that's not something I'm willing to do. And so, look, Junior, I think it's OGs, when they go, they go harder than the rest. And well, so it's just really crazy.
Well, I think part of the surprising thing is, Chinne, is like we thought we did this last summer, right? Like if there were a space where Scottie was going to talk about this, we felt like it might have been in the way because we covered The Last Dance like a sporting event last summer where we know the documentary itself, those were Michael Jordan's cameras, and that was part of what Scottie talked about in all of this. But the timing is, because you're right, if Scottie feels like that is his truth here, I don't know enough about that relationship or what went on in that locker room to be able to speak one way or another on that. Like, I can't speak to the veracity of the claim, but I just look at the surrounding situation for all the reasons that you mentioned and say, that might be a tough thing for us to look at and say, man, do we trust exactly where this is coming from circumstance-wise? Now, a different Hall of Famer spoke up about what we've seen this postseason. We've heard Paul George and others talk about, hey, listen, the war of attrition is catching up right now. We played a lot of games in a short amount of time on all this, and it's had an effect on us. We saw LeBron James speak up about this earlier in the postseason, firing off some tweets about this is why we didn't want to come back as early as we did, because what you're seeing now is a postseason without a lot of the big-time players. Shaquille O'Neal, one of the biggest time players ever, does a great job with the studio crew over at TNT, talked about the other day on CNBC the excuse of the lack of rest as he perceives it.
You know, a lot of guys are out with injury and all that, but that's the way the cookie can crumble sometimes. We're living in a world where people, 440 million people has been laid off, and I'm making 200 million, you won't get no complaining from me. Hey, if I got to play back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, and I'm making all that money, I just got to do what the job entitles me to do. I'm not knocking what anybody said, but me personally, I don't complain or make excuses because real people like you who really work your tail off, you don't make as much money as we do. And all we got to do is train 2 hours a day and then play a game 2 hours a night, and we make a lot of money. So my thought process is a little different.
Chinne, you surprised to hear that from Shaq at all?
Not at all. And you know what's crazy? I do agree with Shaq to some degree. Like, coming off of the pandemic, we are considered athletes, celebrities, heroes, but we have been reoriented to celebrating those who are the real heroes in society, the first responders, the doctors, the nurses that helped us through the pandemic, all of that, right? So I would say that, yeah, relatively, like, we are very fortunate and lucky to have the jobs we have, to play basketball and do something that we love and also get so much with that, right? But the one thing that I would defer on is the fact that what people are speaking about, the injuries and all that type of stuff, we cannot criticize the, oh man, I wish that these star players were out there, without acknowledging that this is the reason why those star players are not out there, right? You know what I mean? So, like, for the people that are missing right now in the moment, you know, it has been because of the quick turnaround, and that is not easy. You know, as much as we talk about how beneficial it is for these athletes to go and make money and play at a high level, how, you know, like, these athletes are also being cognizant about their bodies. Like, you want to be able to chase your kids, you know, when they run off in the future, and not worry about, like, will my quality of life diminish based on what I'm doing in this moment because I am entertainment. So there are, like, some real human struggles that athletes deal with while we are blessed to have all of this money. Like, even for me in the WNBA and everything else, like, I'm blessed to have this money. Like, this is awesome, doing what I love. I also do have to weigh the cost of what happens. That's why I'm sitting out right now, you know, like, trying to make sure we put our, you know, I have a team that wants to put my body first and make sure I'm good for the years ahead. And so if we're going to criticize, like, oh, the games, this star is not missing, also realize, like, you know, that's, there's a reason why, you know, that's the, it's the NBA's decision to turn things around, and the players have to play because they want to get paid. And so it's twofold, Junior.
I think it is twofold, Chiney. The problem I have when that gets brought up, because I think the conceit in all of sports is we understand that relative to some of the more severe realities in life, everyone is incredibly blessed in here. That's always, I think, the conceit when we go to this. But that still doesn't diminish the real problems that can prop up relative to that area here. And while LeBron may have come to this in a way that was a little bit self-serving at the timing based on when him and his team got bounced from this playoff run, we can kind of look at that and say, yeah, maybe this, you know, not coming from the most genuine place on earth, but what he's saying can still be true in that way about what we've seen in this NBA postseason. Now, we've got that from these former stars. We've got that from these former players here, and I'm sure we're going to get more before the postseason's over. But coming up next, we have two enemies right now, two things that we are looking to beat right now. What if I told you that our ESPN NBA analyst, Chiney Agwumike, was going to help you potentially beat a basketball team and the post-shower sweats? We will give you those hints and clues next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, so I got questions right off the bat here. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We'll talk to John Barry in the next hour, get you guys ready for Game 4 in the Eastern Conference Finals on ESPN Radio. But Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike here, guests join us on that Goodyear hotline. So the BET Awards were on Sunday night, I believe, and they were in Los Angeles. Am I hearing that right, Chiney?
We outside. The streets were out. Yep.
Well, so, and someone asked during the break, we were joking, like, you know, Chiney is a, you know, person is very much in the mix. She's out in Los Angeles. She's one of the beautiful people. So you get invited to this stuff. And someone on our staff asked if Chiney went to Meg Thee Stallion's midnight brunch. And I felt like I was the only one that pushed back on the idea that you could have a brunch at midnight. Like, by definition, brunch exists at a very specific time of day because it's a combination of breakfast and lunch.
First of all, brunch is cultural, one, okay? When we talk about brunch, the cultural application of the term, once it's round for breakfast, or if you're having breakfast for dinner, it can apply from that time all the way until dinner. Breakfast and lunch, at any point, whether it's breakfast or lunch, is brunch. So if it's at midnight, it's still brunch.
But if you're eating, like, lunch food is the same as dinner food. It's just the time of day you're eating it at. And
no,
so once you cross
food,
over into that, it would be like dinner. It would be like breakfast for dinner.
No. Lunch food can still be breakfast food. You know what I'm saying? And breakfast food can still be lunch food, depending on the time.
It seems like brunch might just be the friends that we made along the way. Like, I think at this point, brunch is more of a mood than it is an actual meal. Like,
this is true.
Like, Chiney, if I asked you, would you want to go to brunch, is that the most inviting thing you can ask a person in 2021?
No.
What
you
want
to turn up? I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know what I mean? But, like, okay, brunch, if someone's asking you to brunch, you don't even care about the food. It is a mood because it's a vibe because brunch is cool. You know what I'm saying?
I think, so, like, that's
brunch,
the point we're at.
That's it. That's where it is. Brunch is cool. Like, dinner, hey, can we go to lunch? Hey, can we go to breakfast? If you say you want to go to brunch, it just is like, brunch is cool in our brains. So, yeah.
You know what? Brunch comes with a lot of options. I think that's the one thing that we come back to all of this. That's why people like it so much. That being said, I know we've been outside all summer. I said, you got a doctor's note from me here at Janae Angola Jr. saying you could stay inside today because it's too damn hot. And so it got us to thinking. The Clippers are trying to come back from a 3-2, down 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals against the Suns. The Sun is all of our oppressors today, especially here in the Northeast. So Janae Agwemeke's starting five today is going to be the top five ways to beat the Suns. We got to get you the information you need about the NBA.
Sorry, I was all the way deep
into my bag.
Janae, thankfully, is the one that's going to give you accurate information.
These teams are hot. Heat is on the stove hot.
We want to make sure you know all of the important things going on, and we do that by giving you
Janae's starting five.
All right, here we go, number five. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Janae Agwemeke starting five. It's been a minute, but we are back and better than ever, and we're here to fight the one and only Sun, or at least Phoenix Suns. Number five.
Number five.
This one's a layup. I mean, everyone is taught to use sunblock, right? So when you're going to see the sun, you're going to go outside, you need to be prepared. So wear sunblock. And also when playing the Phoenix Suns, you need to be prepared. Because they're a very good team and they have the momentum to win a championship. So, sunblock, number five. Number four.
Number four.
More tactically, you have to out-coach, right? Like, if you have someone in your squad that's like, oh, let's go outside, and you realize they don't want to put sunblock on, you have to, like, make sure you assume the leadership role and say, like, no, all of us need it because you will regret it if you don't have it. Also, on the floor, when it comes to the Phoenix Suns, they've got two coaches. Monty Williams, elite. Shout out to James Jones, who won Executive of the Year, but they also have a coach on the floor in Chris Paul. So you, in order to beat them, you need to be able to up your basketball IQ. Junior, do you agree?
I do agree with that. Obviously, I think they've got the horses to run on that in the Clippers side with Ty Lue as well.
Love it. Oh, that is true. And that's the whole point. You've got Ty Lue, and you have a lot of experienced players on the Clippers. So here we go. Number three.
Number three.
Put your stunner shades on. Put your stunner shades on. If you're going to go out to the sun, you need to be prepared. And having sunglasses is great. Like, I think sometimes we think of sunglasses as an accessory, but it's more important that you actually wear them to protect your eyes. I'm a contact lens wearer. And also, if you're playing against the Phoenix Suns, you need to have great court vision. You need to be able to see what's in front of you because they play excellent team defense and they have a helicopter in the paint by DeAndre Ayton. So you need to be having, you know, complete vision, not only when you're playing, but also when actually when you're playing, whether it's on basketball or when it's like on the beach or outside in Connecticut. Niantic, shout out to Niantic.
Janae, I will say, I feel like sunglasses are the brunch of accessories.
Goodbye, you're canceled. Number two.
Number two.
Canceled.
Okay, maybe not canceled, but at least temporarily for the last two numbers. And my people love it here. Number two, you've got to keep other things from heating up, right? Like, you don't want to be next to someone out here having fun and that person is like a human oven, like Mike Golick Jr. probably in the club. Like, you need to, you know, make sure that you keep your composure. So, you know, Junior had the great idea, like, bring a towel if you're someone that heats up, you know, so that it can help moderate your temperature. Hydrate, drink water. And also, you know, you have to make sure that you keep Devin Booker for heating up. He's the person on the floor that probably can go for 60. I know Paul George hasn't been impressive, but Devin Booker is the guy you have to keep from heating up as well, which leads us to the number one overall. Make it rain. Hey, make it rain. You got to have offensive nights if you're the Clippers like Paul George did. 15 for 20 from the field, 41 points, 13 rebounds. You just need to go out there and get buckets, whether it is rain buckets, getting buckets, like throwing buckets of water into your pool so you can jump in. Or maybe it's like a bucket, like a bath, right? Like, just get in the bath and like take like a nice little like cool shower or like whatever, right? Like, moderate your temperature. But more importantly, if you're the Clippers, you got to make it rain and get points. So, five ways to beat the sun. Sunblock. Out coach, put your stunner shades on. Put your stunner shades on. Keep Devin Booker from heating up, and then also make it rain, baby. What do you think, Junior?
I think it's an incredible list. I mean, Janae Agwemeke didn't feel like taking any of my suggestions of go and chase down the ice cream truck, lay on a bag of ice like a bulldog, pound beers, or stick your head in the freezer. But I feel like all yours are great options here.
Do beers really help with the heat?
Do they hurt?
Love it.
Janae Angola Jr. here on
You're
ESPN
uncanceled.
Radio. All right, there we go. Listen, now that I am uncanceled here, I can step back into the light with you guys here. And while Janae and I may disagree on what the hell brunch constitutes in 2021, we both agree that what's coming next for college athletes is the best, even if it might be a little complicated at the beginning. Next.
Thanks for listening to Janae Angola Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.